Hello and welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Frank. Dave, good afternoon, my friend. How are you today, Dave? I got to say, on a serious note, the seams are coming apart. The world is coming undone. Dave, there is no greater time for moral clarity than right now.
Oh, we need it big time, babe. We need it big time. These are the times that try men's souls.
Indeed.
Not to get too heavy. And we call the show Rant and Rave. It's mainly just rants lately.
Hate we should call it Rant and Rant, perhaps. Yeah.
Rant and more rant.
Not a lot to rave about.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to our fantastic podcast. We always appreciate people checking us out. Sorry we've been so busy lately. We missed the last few days, but there is so much going on, buddy. Hey, real quick, though, we are recording this on 23 April, year of our Lord, 2024.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And, we have so much going on. I don't even have time to talk about how the mayor of Los Angeles' house was robbed two nights ago. I don't have time to talk about that. Yeah. I don't have the time to talk about how the city of Santa Monica is going to be spending $1 million per unit for the homeless shelter.
I know. We have no time to talk about that.
Don't have time to talk about that, folks, because there's too much going on.
On any other day, we talk. The whole show could be about that stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Because I'm just like, I'm ready to be an illegal alien, homeless person. I want to move to Santa Monica and live in a million-dollar palace. And I guarantee in 6 months, whatever they build out there for the homeless is going to be trashed.
Yeah.
Which is easy to even see.
Well, Gavin's giving another $24 billion to the homeless, so it should get much better, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a slush fund. We've been talking about that for years now. There are some things that have been burned into my eyes in the last week. Obviously on TV, because I live in the nice part of South Bay in Los Angeles, so I've seen them on TV, that literally are like, blood pouring out of my eye sockets. And it's like, you can't believe what you're seeing. Yeah. And yet, we've talked about this all the time. Most people in America, including lots of Republicans, have no idea.
Yeah.
They don't know this is happening. They don't know about these riots and the tremendous mayhem going on at the universities. They just, I'm going to go to Ralph's and get my chicken on sale and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's why we're here. And hopefully you can, spread the word. So two things. One, this is just vile. Watching the House pass this gigantic $90 billion Ukrainian spending bill, which included spending money for Israel and Taiwan and so on, and watching all Democrats, including some Republicans, waving a Ukrainian flag on the House floor.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely insane, dude. I mean, Speaker Johnson is a gutless coward, and I'm going to say it. I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. He's got to go. He has to go. We have to have a motion to vacate. I don't care who it is, if it's Matt Gaetz or MTG, whoever. He's got to go. He works for Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries is now the de facto Speaker of the House. They got overwhelming Democrat support for this bill. The media was gushing. If you turned on the mainstream media, Dave, you saw Joanne Reed, all those folks, MSDNC gushing for him. Ukraine's getting $60 billion, which includes $300 million for their border. Dave, you know how much was in there for the southern border? Just out of curiosity.
Zippo.
Yeah, exactly. Zero. That would be zero. Nothing in there for the American southern border. It also included money for Israel and Taiwan. And guess what they tucked into the Israeli package, Dave? $9 billion for Hamas. Not going to read that on the mainstream media press. $9 billion was tucked in there in the details as part of the Israeli component, which is going to the Palestinians and Hamas. And we're going to tie this back together to the Red-Green Alliance in Colombia and the protests in a second.
Yeah, and disappointing, we support Donald Trump and everything, but even just a week ago, he was standing side by side with Johnson and supporting him. You have to cut that.
No, he's getting some bad advice. Some bad advice. I'll be honest. I'm going to call it out right now. He's getting some bad advice. I mean, you got guys like Benny Johnson, Democrat in the House, just introduced a bill this week to strip Trump of his Secret Service protection. Mm. They want him dead, dude. Okay, now it's not even covert; it's overt. They're telling you. They are telling you they want him dead. Okay, it's not even a secret anymore.
No, and by him he means us, the American public.
Right.
That dares to disagree with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Johnson, it's not, Johnson's a good man, but guess what? He's weak. In the year 2024, we need soldiers.
Yeah.
We need men in armor to put it on.
Steel. Yeah.
And if you're going to be a Quisling and a backbencher, which Johnson is, go back to the end of the line. We cannot afford, even between now and November of this year, it's too long of a gap. Too long.
Dave, did you know the names of the congressmen, every Democrat and every Republican who voted to support that $60 billion Ukrainian package? That list was personally delivered to Zelensky and handed. They gave him a list of every congressman that voted for that package and waved those flags. You were just like, why do you think they did that, Dave? Why do you think they did that? Is that necessary as a part of American legislation and lawmaking to actually give a list of the men and women that voted for the package to the Ukrainian oligarchs? You know why they did it. So they can backwash all the money back into their pockets. You know exactly why they did it.
They know the politicians that have already sold their soul for the slush fund. And just as a quick side note, I wonder if that $60 billion will do even one thing to help Ukraine actually win this war.
Nothing. There's no outcomes determined here whatsoever. Absolutely.
The Ukrainian mothers and fathers, they're done sending their kids to die in some useless conflict on the eastern border with Russia. Yeah. They're done with it. They are sending amputees back to the front line at this point.
They're recruiting teenagers now. They're all over television saying, oh, the average age is getting younger and stronger. Yeah, that's because everybody's leaving the country and quitting. The average age right now is 36. Why is the average age dropping? It's a math question. Well, guess what? They're recruiting younger and younger people. That's why the average age is dropping. Just do the math. It's simple.
It's sick that the waving of the flags was sickening, and we're going to get to what's going on in New York here. But this is, I have a great little clip from one of the great movies of all time, The Untouchables, talking about fighting crime. The great playwright David Mamet, who's now a conservative, by the way, who wrote this, I think he won the award for this. And this is the great speech that Sean Connery gives. So every time you hear the word Capone, just substitute the globalists. Or right. Biden or the DNC. And this is him talking to Elliot Ness about what you need to do to beat the system.
You said you wanted to know how to get to Capone. Do you really want to get him? You see what I'm saying? What are you prepared to do? Everything within the law. And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, Mr. Ness, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife. You pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital. You send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago. And that's how you get Capone.
The key takeaway that is, what are you prepared to do?
Right.
And that means opening up your eyes, telling your friends and neighbors, supporting the good, true conservative patriots out there.
Right.
And that's it, because we're at a breaking point here now.
No, we
a
totally
breaking
are.
Point.
Absolutely. And there was another great clip. We'll play it in another show another day from I think not The Firm, but what was that Cuba? No, I can't. Anyway, I can't remember that. I can't even remember the other movie. So let's move on and talk about Columbia. We'll go there. And,
you got it. So it's funny, the odd coincidences in life these days. So here's Donald Trump putting up with this another ridiculous sham trial, bookkeeping error at best.
Right.
At the same time, yards away, we are seeing these colleges are such – this is where the brightest people go. So we've seen the pro-Hamas, pro-brown shirt Nazi army descend upon Columbia University and now NYU in the last 48 hours, setting up tents. We've seen the faculty fold like a bunch of cheap chairs on the Titanic, one of those weird expressions, right? It's just an absolute ugly disaster. Thank goodness. Thank God you're not in New York anymore, dude.
I had the foresight to see this was coming 10 years ago. So a little tip of the hat to myself on that one, because we definitely saw that coming.
And so here's the theme of this. It's funny how we were just talking about this. The theme of talking about how these wealthy, well-to-do, quote-unquote, smart leftists. We're a people of the left. We're open-minded, who for decades have fed the flames of this leftist nonsense. And now they're shocked when these pro-Hamas, thugs, have combined forces with these bratty little upper middle class white kids to become stormtroopers of the left and create all this mayhem. And they are absolutely supported and put up on a pedestal by the left, even though they'll nudge. We disagree with what they're doing because they're supposed to be a peaceful whatever. Yet this is them. This is their. You created this monster, so you can have it.
Right. No, 100%. And it kind of just reminds me, who is that? Who is that mayor, Dave? Who was like the former Sandinista pro neo-Marxist? He was the mayor of New York City for a while. He was one of the big reasons I left. I'm just totally blanking on his name. I have a cold right now, so I'm not recalling names too well. But he was one of the big reasons that we left. And I want to play a little bit of a cold open from Steve Bannon's show this morning, just to kind of bracket this whole conversation around what happened in New York, or what is happening in New York, both at Columbia, at NYU, in Southern Manhattan, at the trial, and so forth. And it kind of relates to something called the Cloward-Piven strategy, which we'll come back and talk about later. But let's listen to this for a second.
And now we've got a seat inside the courtroom, a lot going on today, including about the gag order. We've got some cuts. Really, I think Jonathan Turley really summarized what's happened. But what's happening in Lower Manhattan is inextricably linked to what's happening at Columbia and at Yale and Harvard and these other places. Robert Kraft and Cooperman, these large donors, progressive donors, they didn't have any. All of a sudden, it's like they're shocked that the radical Sharia supremacist jihadists are coming after Jewish students. But they had no problem. They were underwriting for years what got us here. This just didn't happen overnight. There's a lot of complaints on some of these sites that, hey, these students are all affirmative action, DEI, etc., that got in there. Hey, I don't know that or not, but I know that Kraft and Cooperman underwrote Columbia, one of its most progressive. They kept pouring money in there. It was no problem until it turned on them. All of a sudden, it's a problem. And Columbia cratered. Columbia is basically going to give remote learning. And if you saw the two young women that Ben Berquam interviewed yesterday, who were essentially scared to walk across campus and said, hey, I'm paying $60,000. Why am I doing it online? It looks like that's going to be the part of the solution. Like I said, that very first in that cut, the very first, that professor who couldn't get on campus, he's one of the most progressive professors there. This is the progressive world order turning on itself.
Yep.
You have to have total clarity here with people like Trevor Loudon and Frank Gaffney, who've been mocked.
See, that's why I talked about it earlier, Dave, when we started the show. The time is now for total moral clarity. You might recall about a year ago we did a show on the country of Qatar funding all the radical left-wing universities, and I put that out on our social pages as well. The money was funneled through George Soros's 501c3s, and this went to all of the Ivy League schools, MIT, Columbia, mm-hmm. Harvard, Georgetown, and it's working to basically forge this, what we call kind of this unholy red-green alliance. This is the Sharia supremacists, the BLM, the Palestinians. They're all marching together, and if you don't think so, take a look at all the tents that were on the fields at Columbia today. All the same tents, exactly the same. Exactly the same. All the bullhorns, exactly the same bullhorns. Somebody's funding this. Somebody is going out and buying like 50 bullhorns and buying 100 tents. This is not just random. This is just like the original World Economic Forum protest that started in Seattle in the early 80s. It's all money funneled through Soros open societies.
Yeah, and it's weird how it's combined with the naivete of a guy like Robert Kraft. So let's talk about him real quick. Bannon had mentioned him. So he's the owner of the New England Patriots, a billionaire, and overall, a good person. And he does support Trump openly to some degree. But for decades, Bannon mentioned him for a reason, because he's one of the more well-known you know, donors to these left-wing schools. Like, right now you're finally waking up to this, dude?
Yeah.
Where have you been for 20 years? You have to do more than just cut off your funding at this point. You need to yeah, how exactly. About you use those $100 billion that you got stashed away to support Gateway Pundit, Breitbart, all these totally. More conservative outlets to spread the word and to support politicians that are going to counteract this nonsense and be pro-America, pro-business, and lead to a safer living environment. When you got these kids cannot even walk across campus.
Yeah.
And I really hope they do some, you know, look yourself in the mirror, all you, especially you left-wing Jewish students out there.
Oh, yeah.
From New York. Gee, I wonder why they don't like me anymore. I'm a progressive.
Yeah, they wouldn't even let, and we've talked about this on the show before, Dave. I mean, today they wouldn't even let a liberal Jewish professor enter the campus. Mm. They stopped him. This is absolutely insane. And to your point, look, 90% of U.S. Jews vote liberal. Yeah. They brought this stuff here. They voted for it. They own it. The Sharia terrorists, they have no interest in discussions. They don't want peace. They just want to destroy America. They're very clear about their intentions. The time for – it's not like some kumbaya moment. And, gee, I wish they – maybe if we did some DEI programs or some inclusion or had a debate about values. No, there's no value. No, they want Sharia compliance. They want that order here in the United States, and they want America. I mean, they say – look, when they're chanting – here's a little cue for you libtards right, out there. Yeah. When they're chanting right. death to America – maybe just pay attention. Maybe just listen, because they mean it.
So you're saying lighting incense and smoking a little weed is not going to quite cut it anymore, dude?
No.
Hey, we mentioned this term all the time. A little history lesson for everybody: the brown shirts. Okay, this was a term, also AKA stormtroopers, that the Nazi Party brought to life in the late 20s and early 30s. This is an excellent metaphor for what's going on. Today's group that are occupying Columbia, NYU, we see them on the streets blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. They are the modern day brown shirts, you guys.
Yep.
This is to intimidate the Germans who did not comply with them, to intimidate the Jewish population. They're also very anti-capitalist. Okay, so it's I mean, history repeats itself, people.
Yeah.
Over and over, and this is another great. So I'm going to call these people, they're brown shirts.
Yeah, totally. And I want
to even though they wear idiotic clothes from North Face.
There you go. Right? Exactly. I want to draw folks at home attention to a couple of other things here on the Rant and Rave Show. You know, we say, you know, there are no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences. I'm going to tie this back into the New York, the Southern New York thing with Trump and the trial. You know, so we talked about Matthew Colangelo, right? This crazy a guy who was basically, you know, I said the Department of Justice, right? So AG Garland, he was seconded by Garland to go and revive a dead case in DA Alvin Bragg's office, right? And everyone's like, oh, Matthew, yeah, he's not really involved. He's just helping with paperwork in the background. He's not really. He gave the opening statement for the trial, dude. He gave the opening statement for Trump's trial. And in the opening statement, it had nothing to do with the so-called, bookkeeping at best misdemeanors where the statute of limitations has run out. Oh, and by the way, they wouldn't let the first three witnesses wouldn't be disclosed to Trump. That's illegal. There's an illegal gag order on Trump. That's unconstitutional and illegal. That's going to be heard tomorrow. The left-wing hyenas are laughing it up in court. Judge Mershon is highly conflicted. His adult daughters raised $100 million off this for Adam Schiff and a bunch of other Democratic politicians. I mean, the whole thing just reeks. It just stinks to high heaven, which is why I think, and I call this on the last show, we'll see if this happens. He's going to be tried. It's going to take 2 months. He's going to get convicted. Mershon's going to throw the book at him. He's going to sentence him to 20 years. Trump will obviously appeal. He will become Nelson Mandela. That's my prediction. He will become Nelson Mandela. He won't serve a day in jail, but he will become a martyr and become even more powerful than he even is now.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good guess. And I think that just even if they just get the one conviction so that for the next 6 months, the idiots on MSLSD can, the convicted, blah, 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 ex-president. Every single sentence of them will begin with those couple words, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's Juan Mershon. Juan.
Juan, sorry. Is he the guy who used to be on the coffee commercial for Folgers? Is that the guy? Same guy?
I don't think so. Juan? I don't think so.
Or is he the little midget who was on Fantasy Island? I always get those guys mixed up.
DePlaine, yeah.
That's it. Okay.
And you know, they were the whole gag order started because Trump retweeted something from his Truth Social site.
Yeah.
So that's what they want to throw him in jail for that. Because he did a retweet.
Apparently Bragg has backed off of that. But dude, in the Department of Did You Know, here, listen to this one. Did you know that Alvin Bragg, D.A. Alvin Bragg, and his wife, Matthew Colangelo, and his wife, they all went to Harvard together, all the same year. And Colangelo's wife was also the former general counsel of the SEC, appointed by, guess who? Obama. Then she went on to the White House counsel's office. That's the legal office in which presidency, you ask? Also under Obama. And now works for the famous hedge fund Renaissance Technologies, Jim Simon's hedge fund. And guess who also went to Harvard at the same time as those two guys, Bragg and Colangelo? George Soros's son, Jonathan, who's now taking up the reins on the $13 billion open borders platform. So I'm just saying, no conspiracies, but they seem to spend a lot of time together.
Right, and give everybody that a real pinpoint of who this Cloward Piven is. That they were a communist married couple from the 60s,
yeah,
who are still widely praised in schools like Columbia.
They not only widely praised, widely taught. So they were sociologists back in the 60s. Richard Cloward, Francis Piven, a famous essay in 1966, the year I was born, which basically it's a strategy and a political approach aimed at creating chaos to prompt a political crisis, with the ultimate goal being to lead to a guaranteed annual income, basically communism. So it's a way to basically create, to foment so much chaos, the system falls under its own weight. And then basically the federal government has to get involved in terms of redistribution of wealth and so forth. And a lot of folks talk about that being kind of the unspoken centerpiece of Obama. And that's, well, let me just say one thing about Obama, if I can. He is the real president of the United States, okay? Unelected, he holds all the power, he calls all the shots for this brain-dead dementia puppet Joe Biden. The election was rigged, we know it. The borders are open. The Green New Deal, DEI, critical race theory, transgendering of the kids at school, weakening our military, Afghanistan, radical left prosecutors, they let all those people go, weaponization of government, new IRS agents, massive debt, massive inflation. Had enough yet, Dave? Well, guess what? Wait for it. Obama also went to Columbia at the same time.
Yeah. What a hot mess. What a hot mess. And now we're supposed to feel sorry for these people being slammed, and for the university while these it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not feeling sorry for these people at all.
No, I'm
upset that it's happening in my country.
Yep.
But my sympathy only goes so far these days. I'm sick of these a-holes and their left-wing propaganda. It was one thing when they were in their little bubble, but it's spreading out. It's spreading out, and a lot of regular citizens are being harmed by this one way or the other.
Yeah. No, look, and it's shaking. And now all of a sudden everybody's okay with 5,000 illegals a day, which is about a run rate of a million a year crossing the border. Why? Because 5,000 a year, and there was some great reporting from Todd Bensman on this on the border the other day, is below the optically bad number for Biden, which is about 15,000. If there's about 15,000 a day, all chaos. It's chaos. If there's only about 5,000 a day or 150,000,
it's acceptable.
It's acceptable, meaning acceptable in the media eyes, right? So it doesn't ramp up. The optics are okay, and that's the whole border. That's the southern border from the Rio Grande all the way to San Diego. And they get here, and then I just have to reiterate this, and I see some of this. The other day, I was just renewing my Visa card on DoorDash. And I noticed one of the options at the bottom, if you can put in Apple Pay or credit card, Amex or Visa, one of the options is Snap card.
Oh, yeah.
So all the illegals and the people that are unemployed can link their Snap cards to DoorDash and order food on DoorDash. And so your tax dollars are paying for an illegal to drive a car to bring a pizza to someone who's also illegal. I mean, the irony here is just like it beyond. And on top of that, they're getting $1,000 every month. $1,400 on the SNAP card, full health coverage, laundry, mental health screenings, a phone, Obama phone. It's just, dude. Yeah. And there's 20 million of them here. 20 million.
And plus the millions that were here before. Hey, guaranteed income for everybody. Come on over to the U.S. We're suckers. We'll help you out.
And they're still coming. That includes 125,000 Chinese nationals, of which about a quarter of those, at least a quarter, were military-age men by themselves. Very fit. What are they doing here?
Well, maybe they're going to try for the next NFL season at this point. I mean, you know, what the heck?
It's like, you know, once in a while here in Southern California where we are, we used to see a boat or two every, I don't know, bunch of months or a year. Now there's 4 Panga boats a week that are landing on the beaches of Southern California. The sheriff is driving them nuts. They basically just land forget about coming in at night or the weekends. They're landing in the middle of the day with people sunning themselves on the beach, and they scurry into the town and they have SUVs waiting to pick them up. It's all human trafficking.
100%. It is, because it's all pre-planned, paid for with our money, with these NGOs, as we've talked about. Hey, can I end with one bright spot? Uh-oh. Donald Trump won Pennsylvania primary today.
Oh, did
I got to end with something good.
Oh my God, is that over? Are we done?
That's it for the moment. I mean, it's a lot of heavy stuff. I hope everyone just you know, we got to take our deep breaths.
We'll save the bird flu for next week.
Yeah.
Dave, great to see you this week, folks. Thanks for tuning in, and really appreciate it. And don't forget to check us out on your favorite podcast platforms of choice. We are out there everywhere, and on social media, we are at Rant and Rave 1776. And Dave, as always, we'll see you down the road. On the right side.